Patrick Timpone, Andrew Goss, it's The Real World of Money. I think it's hour two.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, yep.
Go, it's girl. The Real World of Money with Andrew Goss. Once again, here's Patrick.
Okay, we got some interesting emails here. We're going to get to them. Like, let's start picking off some of them right now. Hello, Andrew. Enjoyed the show. This is Nigel, who lives in the UK. He said, last night I watched a documentary that was aired in the UK. Okay. Showing an investigation by retired Australian detective Colin McLaren into the killing of JFK. I know Andrew studied some of this. I want to get his take. His theory is that George Hickey, Secret Service agent directly following behind the president's vehicle, accidentally shot JFK.
Yeah,
what?
Accidentally
shot JFK with an ARIS rifle after his own vehicle launched forward. Cordite was smelled at street level, which is consistent with the shot being fired close to JFK, given the wind direction of the day. The suggestion being the cover-up was initiated to hide the fact that his own Secret Service responsible JFK. Wonder what Andrew thought about this theory.
No, I've seen that theory. I've heard that theory. I don't buy that theory. And the cordite,
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
And the cordite, well, according to people who allegedly were close to the assassination team, there was a storm drain that had a shooter in it. And
that's
so,
what we hear, right? That's the conjecture, that there was something in it.
From the storm drain is where that back and to the left shot occurred.
Ooh.
Forgive me for being so graphic, but that was
back and to the left.
Yeah. So that would certainly account for the cordite smell and the reason why everyone on at street level there kind of hit the ground. A lot of questions still in the Kennedy assassination, and doubt that we'll ever know the truth.
Speak of the Kennedy assassination, one of the great movies about that is JFK, Oliver Stone.
Still left a lot out.
But the
fact that David Ferry was in the Civil Air Patrol with Lee Harvey Oswald is an undisputed fact at this point.
Oh, the guy out of the crazy guy out of New Orleans.
That's right.
And Stone did have that part in the movie, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking about Oliver, I saw where he's doing a 4-night documentary on Putin on HBO. Man, I wish I had HBO. I'd like to watch it. I'll just have to wait for the Netflix.
Yeah, but then you'll have to watch Bill Maher, too, so.
Oh, God. Hell, heaven help me. But evidently, he's got a long interview with Putin.
Yes.
Yeah, so that should be interesting, Oliver Stone. Of course, Oliver's pretty far
left, you think? Left. He's so far left that we bump into each other, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oliver's pretty far left, a cool guy that he is, so I'm not sure what kind of an interview that's going to be, but, you know, Putin's not won't put up with much nonsense, but so that should be interesting. Can you watch HBO if you don't have it? Probably not. It'd probably be against bad karma, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it.
I wouldn't try.
No, just wait for the Netflix to come out. It'll be out at some point, right?
But I do know that Oliver Stone knows all about, Russia's participation in World War II and everything we discussed in the first hour about how
he's got a pretty cool series of history.
Yes.
By Oliver Stone.
Yeah, so if he ties in his series and asks Putin those kind of questions, I think that'll be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If we get into the, hey, did you hack?
He already asked that question. I saw a clip of that. He said, why? He didn't even say, did you? He said, why did you hack into the election? And Putin just laughed. That was the clip that I saw.
Yeah, because it's rather...
You think?
Again, after what we know about our meddling in foreign elections.
I'm going to play something for you. Yeah. Okay, this is John McAfee, right? You know John?
McAfee.
McAfee.
The gringo. He's down in Central America.
He's in Central America. And he's mining bitcoins.
Sure.
Check this out. John McAfee is mining bitcoins. He has 1,300 computers.
Bitcoin servers.
Bitcoin servers. And he's right now, he's churning out 225 per month.
Yeah.
At 2,000K, that's $475,000 a month.
Sure.
And he's only got two dudes sitting there watching, make sure the air conditioner doesn't go out.
That's right.
That's a pretty good business model. John is not too dumb, you know. And what do you got to lose, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're going to make the Bitcoins, you could sell them in case Bitcoin goes belly up. Just sell
them.
That's right. So John is a super geek. He wrote, McAfee?
Yeah, the security spy stuff.
And I guess he sold out for billions.
Cabillions.
And he's down there, and he's a pretty good computer dude. Well, here's an interview, and he was asked, this is about the Russian hacking thing, and this is John here. Check out a little bit of this. It's a couple minutes. Pretty fun.
I think that today, the most deceptive propaganda to date was perpetrated on the American public. The data that was presented, the evidence, was culled from a thing called the Grizzly Step Report, put together jointly by Homeland Security and the FBI. In there are four facts which they claim prove that Russia did this hack. It was utter nonsense. The information was, number one, Russian language was found in the malware. Number two, a Cyrillic keyboard was used. By the way, the forensic science can now tell what type of keyboard was used to develop a piece of malware. Number three, the compiler, that is one, the piece of software that compiles the code so that it can execute, always dates and timestamps. It said that the timestamps were in a time zone for the business hours of Moscow and St. Petersburg and other places in Russia. And then number four, that the IP address pointed to a Russian address. Now, let me go through this and try to make it very simple for the American people. If the CIA wanted to hack Russia, the things you would not do is you would not include the English language in your software, because that would then exclude everybody except English-speaking nations. You would certainly not use a keyboard that everybody knows that the CIA uses, whatever keyboard they use. You'd have them use a Chinese keyboard or something else. You would certainly remove the date and timestamp from the program so that you couldn't tell what business hours or what zone you were in when it was compiled. And number four, you would absolutely not have an IP address that points to you. It's not just flimsy. It's either this. It's propaganda intended to incite the American people to anger toward Russia for some reason, or our intelligence community is so ignorant and naive that they should all be replaced. And here's the kicker. Here is why it cannot possibly be an organized nation state. Because the hack on the DNC used a piece of malware a year and a half old, and there have been many updates since then. Do you actually believe the Russian intelligence services spend all their time improving their malware, and then when you do an important attack, go, well, I used that thing from a year ago. It only had a few bugs. No.
You got to love me.
Yeah, I used that thing from a year ago.
You know how bizarre that is when you really look at the details?
Yeah,
from a guy like this that knows what he's talking about?
That's right, yeah.
I mean, jeez.
Yep.
I mean, why don't they get him to testify before Congress or something? Of course, nobody wants to hear
from
John.
They don't
want to
hear him, that's right. They do not want to hear from him.
Amazing.
In fact, if he continues along this line, they'll do everything they can to discredit him.
Oh, of course. You wait.
Yeah. Oh, he's an idiot.
Of course, that was on RT. That wasn't on CNN.
Yeah.
That interview. I mean, you know, they're going to put this guy on CNN.
Yeah.
God, isn't that funny?
But, you know, curiously enough, if you want to get the information yourself, this report that he's talking about, Grizzly Step.
Grizzly Step, yeah.
It's online. I mean, you can get it right from the Department of Homeland Security. Go get it, download it, read it yourself, and you'll see that what John is saying is completely accurate. These are the four facts that they relied upon to say unequivocally Russia did this.
You think Russia's going to use their own IP address?
Right, yeah.
When people, you know, crack into you to get your bank account, don't even use their own IP address. They're not that stupid.
That's right.
I mean, come on. Jeez. I mean, the people that hacked us, they were using a roving IP thing where it just changed every 2 minutes or something. You don't think Russia's going to do that?
No.
I mean,
no.
Come on. I mean, it's no, so absurd yeah, what's no. going on. I mean, it's to the point where it's so absurd that you can't even comment on it anymore. You know, I saw a lady, I watched a little video from, it was a Sunday morning show, NBC, I guess Face the Nation, or whatever, the big one of the big ones. They actually put a gal on who was a columnist with the WAPO, which I can't believe that she's even still working for him. And she was just so over the top that this was going on, that this whole thing was so, this whole Russian hacking thing was so not even real, that she couldn't even have a conversation with these people, because she just got to the point where she said, I don't even understand what you people, what's your motive here? What's going on? And, you know, you feel like that sometimes, you know, thinking, what are you guys even, it's so obvious. I don't know. It's so obvious.
It's obvious to those who understand,
yeah,
like John McAfee, but not obvious to the person in the street, which is who they're targeting. You see?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, they have a leg to stand on when they say these are the four facts that convince us unequivocally, without a doubt, that the Russians were behind this.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Oh, boy. It's just pretty hilarious. let's see. Don writes in, I heard a rumor. Oh, guy, we like rumors. That in Monterey, California, the city is charging Airbnb owners?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, that's the daily rental of your house, your bed and breakfast. Where
Hotel taxes.
Yeah.
One individual is being charged $30,000 for past year's revenues.
That's right.
What is that?
Well, Airbnb is a service that allows you to advertise a room in your house, a bed and breakfast,
for
a traveler.
Right.
So, hey, you can come and stay at my house in Monterey, and I'll give you a breakfast and a bed, and it costs you X number of dollars.
Right.
Well, the city of Monterey and a great many other cities throughout the country are passing legislation that treats these small business people like hotel owners.
Really?
And requires them to pay a lodging tax. And so, in the case of Monterey, they're going back and trying to collect
that. Oh, that's not fair. You can't.
Well, of course not.
You know. Man, these places out west, these people that are over the top, progressive, liberal, whatever they are, they'll tax anything that moves. They're taxing rainwater up in Oregon. In Washington, they're trying to tax a guy who has a pond and say that we own the water. I mean, these people are crazy. I don't know what, you know, they're just out of control.
Yeah.
They're just out of control.
Yep.
Why would you live out there?
Yeah, yeah. Why would you? Well, unless you think that way yourself, then it's, of course, your haven. Especially if you work for some branch of the government. You can go get a government job.
let's see. Here's an email. Mercedes Daimler has two factories in the U.S. Not sure if you did the following comment. Ignored if you did. 90,000 extremely accurate measurements of CO2 taken from the atmosphere over the past 180 years do not match the levels taken from ice cores. Blah, 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 blah. Ice core data shows a lower level CO2 than direct measurements. This indicates that the level today is historically very low. The direct atmospheric test results do show consistency with each other and are not used in the climate models. How anyone can expect the models to agree with observations when the input data is not accurate to begin with. At best, the current state of climate science is only can be described as garbage in, garbage out.
Right. Guy go.
Guy go.
No question, yeah.
These guys just make it up as they go along, man.
Hmm.
They just make it up as they go
along. Well, they alter the data to fit the facts, you know, to fit what they need. So they fit the narrative to the data. Or fit the data to the narrative, whatever they have to do.
Oh, it's kind of like the JFK assassin.
Yes, very much like it.
It's kind of what you do there.
But thanks for that. 90,000 separate atmospheric measures.
Yeah, wow. By the way, today's the last day to protest property taxes in Harris County, Brazonia County, and I'm sure most areas in the Houston area and maybe most places you can submit online on a short form. Oh, is this...
appeal your taxes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
Because they might be lowered.
Just by appealing them?
Yes.
Huh.
Especially given the softness, you know, it depends on what your particular property has done. But generally speaking, appealing taxes means they'll lower them if you fight hard enough. So whoever wrote that is probably a veteran at this sort of thing. And I would urge anyone who hasn't ever appealed their taxes to just go ahead and do it.
You know, yeah.
Today's the deadline. Thank you to the writer there.
I should do that. You know why? Because I found out, you know, I even mentioned on the show that after your 65 revolutions around the sun, they freeze the
your tax rate.
The school taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of it. But then I found out that you got to go in and do it. They just don't do it.
Right.
So, which I never did because I didn't know that. So maybe I should appeal on that bottle and see if I can get them to go back.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. Good luck with that.
Give it a try, Patrick.
It's worth a try, right?
Sure.
So you
is.
Go online and just appeal them?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to do that today. Thanks for that. I'll do that. Konrad Adenauer, German Chancellor.
Konrad Adenauer, that's him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks. Yeah.
I said Wittenauer. I knew it was close. Adenauer, yes. Konrad Adenauer.
Konrad Adenauer. That's, and who is
he
that?
He was the German Chancellor that oversaw this. Reformation of Germany and the currency reform of 1948, which brought us the Deutschmark and quite a booming economy as a result. So Germany underwent this economic miracle from 1948 to 1955 once they started with a sound new currency and a banking system based on the Federal Reserve System. They quickly took control of the inflation problem and the confidence in currency problem. So, yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's see. Okay, this is, do you know this guy, Mark Yusko?
Can't say that
Morgan,
I do.
Morgan Creek Capital. This is like the one of the biggest all-time boogie boos.
Yeah, familiar with Morgan Creek.
They're big.
I'm also familiar with Elliott Management, which is Paul Singer.
Uh-huh.
And he... Man, he says all hell is going to break
Well, that's what this guy is saying, too. He did a keynote speaker at this big conference in California. The U.S. is going to have a crash, and it will be massive.
Yeah, that's what Paul Singer says.
Yeah. Oh, so the big boys who study this stuff, they sit in front of their computer all day and study this stuff.
That's right.
And everyone and their brother is long saying... This is going to just keep on.
Oh, yeah.
The Trump foray is going to keep on trumping.
Yeah.
So that's not a good place to be. Hear that?
I do. Fire.
We just had a little
yeah, power.
Power thing, but we're
good. Yeah, so logic being, if the market, and we speak of the market again in this intangible form,
yes,
right?
Intangible.
Okay. If the market says, hey, Trump's economic policies are not going to get through. Man, well.
Well, isn't the market already saying that they are?
Yes.
That's why they're long?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. I thought so.
That's right.
I thought so, yeah. But then the smart guys like the, who's the guy you like over in Singapore?
Jimmy Rogers.
Jimmy Rogers and all these big dudes, they're out there saying, no. You guys are not looking at the fine print here.
That's
this
right.
is not good, what's going on.
No.
And Andrew Goss is saying the same thing. This is not good.
Not good. You've papered over everything. We have not fixed
good.
Anything. We have papered over the problem with additional borrowing. I mean, look at the debt levels here in the United States. I mean,
huger than huge.
Huge. Shocking. And now multiply that throughout the world. And you can see it's not just a U.S. phenomenon. Around the globe, debt is at record levels. I think in the UK, it was last year when they passed the 2008 levels of UK debt.
Wow.
Right? Last year, not even now. So this year, we've got like $10 trillion in negative bond yields in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell folks what that means. That's really curious.
Where people own bonds
that are paying negative.
That are paying negative rates of return.
$10
trillion? $10
trillion. And how are they going to get rid of those? That's a problem.
You could call that a problem.
What
yes?
do you do? Just hang on to those and hope that.
Well, that's your choice. Hold them to maturity. And especially if they're in a central bank vault, then okay, you hold them to maturity and you limit your losses. And then we move to China. Well, They are all of those non-performing loans in China are state-owned enterprises, and they just don't mark them to market. So if you have debt, you remember that mark-to-market phenomenon from 2008 where, okay, this thing is worth less, so you have to mark it down in value. They don't do that in China. So they just left everything at the value that it was. So they borrowed $1 trillion, and so their bond is worth $1 trillion. Absolutely insane condition. And again, with just 0.7% of their GDP in gold reserves, they don't have anything to fall back on except their U.S. Treasury bonds, which they have been unloading. Now, remember, we talked about that in the past. I said, if I ever saw that happening, I would tell you. It's happening. I'm telling you, it's happening.
What's happening?
The Chinese are selling their dollar-denominated bonds in order to support their own currency. So now they're one of the big consumers of U.S. Treasury bonds is out of the marketplace, which will force it. The Federal Reserve is unquestionably going to have to engage in quantitative easing, because dollar-denominated debt is just out of this world. We doubled the amount of dollar-denominated debt worldwide since 2008. It's something like $94 trillion. And as these rating agencies start cutting everyone's credit rating, now the cost of this credit is increasing. And slowing growth in these countries where you're not seeing that explosive economic growth in GDP is hampering their ability to even repay what they've already borrowed, let alone, you know, bury themselves even deeper. So you could see a mega default. And in such a case, I think the rippling effect could very well surpass the crisis of 2008.
Okay. We're going to go back to 8 and 7 and then look forward and what was going on with that in this country and other places with Andrew Goss. So stay right there. Lots to come. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We try to give you a big picture here involved with geopolitics, war, money, dollar, and everything, so you can get a kind of a big, broad stroke of how things work out there, and then drill it on down to your job, your money, your investments, and so you can make some kind of a decision somewhere along the way that going to help you to now outlive your money. And if you keep hanging around One Radio Network, you're going to live a long time, so you got to figure out how to not run out of money.
In this country, the sulfur levels have been dropping. There was an alarm that went out to the Congress, and this was in 1932 or 34 when this big warning came out. Mineral quantities have been dropping in the U.S. for quite a while, and especially as farmland got worn out. Notable of things was the sulfur, and if you had been eating high sulfur foods all of your life, you may be getting enough sulfur, but we're not. And the sulfur content in foods is way low, and really you need sulfur. The number one thing that sulfur does is it detoxifies the cells.
Thank you, George. George Altgeld on a previous show. He's a biologist, chemist, and knows a lot about agriculture. The number one thing, he says, is sulfur detoxifies the cells. This is pure sulfur. Very few of them are. Three prices, three locations, United States, Canada, and worldwide. Click an order, see the ad right-hand side on OneRadioNetwork.com.
While listening to the show, one might be pondering, why should I buy gold and silver coins? How do I know the differences in the pricing of American gold and silver coins? How do I determine when to buy, when to sell, and which coins to own? All of these questions can be answered by the numismatic professionals at SDL Incorporated at 1-800-878-2646. We'll be happy to guide you as a new investor or as a professional who's been acquiring for many, many years. Buy the best in American gold and silver coins through SDL at 1-800-878-2646 and at usgoldcoins.com.
Previously with Daniel Vitalis on one of our premier products.
And pine pollen comes in at this time in history as this important player in the herbal world, in our pharmacopoeia, in our apothecary. providing us with male hormones. And it's not because we want to become MMA meatheads who just, rah, testosterone. It's nothing like that. It's that we need testosterone to have healthy motivation levels, to have vigor, to feel purpose. And when a person's testosterone levels get really low, they get kind of depressed, lethargic. They start to wonder what the point of life is. They start going around saying, I just need to feel more energy. Right. You know what I can take for more energy? And often it's just low testosterone levels. So pine pollen is just this crucial player. And we've brought it to market, it must have been 6 years ago now, and it has been wildly successful because it's helping so many people.
Well, it's very popular around here, as you know. The pine pollen gold is the main product. And if you want to leverage its potency even more, 4-P's, they call it, has some stinging nettle and some other good things, which kicks it up a notch. Click and order any Sir Thrival link on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Every Wednesday, Andrew Goss is here. He's a currency historian. And he's known around the world for that. Does a lot of different interviews around the world. People say, wow, why is this happening? He's got 2 books, Secret World of Money, Uncle Sam Cooks, the books, and a third one in the works, The Monetary History of the United States. He buys and sells gold coins for a living. As you heard his commercial a few moments ago, it is SDL Incorporated. His number, 800-468-2646. If you want to talk about these things. So back in 2008, we had this thing, George Bush was going out, President Obama was coming in, and they did the whole TARP thing. And two good movies, Andrew. I guess two of the best would be Too Big to Fail and The Big Short. On those two, if people would like to watch movies and learn.
Yes.
Don't you think those are the two best ones?
I do indeed.
What went on. But then since then, there's just been more debt, more paper worldwide, hasn't there?
Doubled.
Doubled, yeah, doubled. Just more. The ECB, the Bank of Japan.
Oh, well, forgive me, that is just dollar-denominated debt, doubled.
Yeah. Just dollar-denominated debt.
Correct.
Since, 9 years ago, mm-hmm. has doubled. Right. Now, I mean, but then the people grow and you have babies and, you know, more people buy stuff, but that's still... That's still out of whack, right?
That's right.
It's out of whack.
Yep.
So I'm looking here at money that people have stashed away, money with a zero maturity, hot money, you call it.
Yep.
Which is nearly $15 trillion now.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Wow. I remember when it was like 12.
Yes. They just I remember keep, when it was 8.
And then if you look at in another chart, I just go to Fred, you know, mm-hmm. you know Fred.
Yeah.
Federal Reserve
Bank. St. Louis Fed.
Then you look at the velocity. That's how fast the money's moving, right?
Not very fast.
Not very fast. So it's just hanging out there. So and then salaries are stagnant, right? So what's going on? What's happened in the last 9 years, just big picture?
Well, we funded everything with debt. That's all.
We just kept...
Everything we did, we created more debt to fund.
Like, so, what would be everything? Some of the
every idea. Bailout, every...
everything.
Band-aid, every... Everything.
Whatever.
Every bit of growth has all been done with debt, not any new real equity. So, especially in the area of stocks, between the... margin debt and the exchange-traded funds, you have unbelievable circumstances. And now they're even allowing those 4x leveraged products to be brought to the market.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, so where the bulk of every stock that's owned is, it has a lien on it. You know, it's owned with debt. So record levels of margin debt. Now, what happens when, I need to sell? Well, you assume that there's a buyer and you can just sell, especially with the exchange-traded funds. But when there's a dislocation, when there's not a buyer for every seller, Well, I guess there is, but, you know, what's the price going to be? So it used to be a dollar, but now all the buyers want to pay a dime, and I suppose you could sell it for a dime, but boy, that's going to really put a damper on the market's enthusiasm if suddenly interest rates go up or margin debt is, the margin levels are increased so that you have to put up more money. And that'll be enough to cause a lot of these entities to be forced to sell because they can't meet the margin requirements.
So this $20,000, $21,000 doesn't mean much.
It does not.
It does not mean much. There's just a lot of cheap money or new money,
leverage money.
Stuff going in there. Guys buying their own stock.
Yep. Companies, yeah.
Companies exactly. Buying their own stock.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, a lot of the insiders, though, we mentioned, they're selling, right?
Yes.
A lot of the insiders are selling.
Yeah, well, they know the picture of the company better than most. But the real danger to me is the ratio of short to long. So everyone is long.
Boy, skipping over to just for fun, you know, this whole Brexit thing and now the games begin. Now, right? Yeah. They're going to have a 2-year negotiations period.
They just got lawyers,
and they just start lawyering up. And Brussels, you know, the EU says, you know, you guys owe us a lot of money.
That's right. You're going to have to pay.
You're going to have to pay, man, to get out. And you're going to have to pay like $100 billion.
Just like a bad divorce, I'm telling you. Yeah, just what I likened it to.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
And the Brexit vote was the one partner saying to the other,
yeah, I'm out.
I want a divorce.
Uh-huh.
And as nice and pleasant as that might have been, it's going to get worse from here. So we've engaged the lawyers, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So they'll probably make some kind of deal after a couple of years, right?
Like everything.
Yeah. They'll make some
kind of deal. And it'll be an expensive deal, and no doubt.
But what can they do to a country? They can't make you pay. Just tell them to pound sand. What are they going to do?
Well, remember.
What are they going to do? Oh, no, they got to have all these new treaties.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Bilateral trade agreements,
oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
And they can certainly use them to force a settlement, you know, like Mr. Trump with the wall. A 10% tariff on imported Mexican goods would build the wall in 1 year. So when he says he'll get the Mexicans to pay for it, the same way that the European common market can get the Brits to pay for whatever they need to buy by forcing them into a position of you either settle or you can't get a trade deal with any country in Europe.
Huh. Hey, somebody just sent me something fun. He said you might consider an HBO free trial.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Let's see how HBO free trial. But how do you do? Oh, you can actually watch it on the computer?
Don't know. Can't tell you.
I don't know.
But I have heard of HBO to go. And the trend nowadays is that everything is moving to various devices.
So oh, sure.
Your ability to watch whatever you want to watch on whatever device you have in your hand.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
fact, you know. In Asian countries, Japan primarily, and China to a lesser extent, they don't even have TVs. You know, everything is a TV to them. So the majority of movies in Japan are not watched on traditional televisions, but on handheld devices.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So that's where it's all happening.
Yeah, that's where it's all happening. And the possibility of you being able to get HBO to go and watching it on your little tablet out there on the porch, well, that's entirely
And then
possible.
I think YouTube, we talked about, they're going to be offering the whole
programming,
you know, whole programming of cable TV shows and all that right there on YouTube.
Yeah, the distribution channel has really changed. I remember when I started talking about this in the early 90s, and I talk about CTI, computer telephony integration, and that what I was saying is that I said by 2000, which was 5 years out and way later than it took, that the distinction between your computer and your telephone would be gone, that they would be integrated. And that's about where we are to now.
888-663-6386, email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Let's see, when here's one. I have a question for Andy. My sister and I each are in the market for a house, but as you know, real estate in many areas is moving extremely fast. Yes, it is. It's going up a lot. Yep. The prices are on the rise. It's hard to find something we'd actually want for a decent deal. Mm-hmm. And we've had an idea, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Our dad is an electrician, is very skilled, helps us to maybe fix this up, help us to fix a thing else. Now that we're both looking for a house again, I've had the thought we could find a foreclosed, poor condition properties in good location and have him flip the house and then sell it to us. And he would then turn a profit. He would already have buyers lined up, pay no realtor commissions, and would get what he could for the house. But Dad would have to withdraw on one of his annuities in order to have the cash to do the flips. He's age eligible now to withdraw. He's had very little work in the past number of years, so we realized that withdrawing on the annuity would be taxed at ordinary income.
Right.
And the profit would make on the flips would also be taxed. So, but given the fact that he hasn't had steady work, would this really be so bad because of income taxes if it's a way for him to make money at the end of the day and possibly get him started on a business? To me, this seems like it would be better use of the annuity money than letting him sit there in T-bills and bonds while barely having any work through the union.
Mm. Yeah, that matches my way of thinking. In fact, when my late brother was alive back in the mid-90s, and he was working for Colonial Williamsburg restoring furniture, I thought that would be a perfect thing for him. So I put up the money. We bought the house. He worked on it, and then we sold the house and split the profit. In your case, since, as you point out, you already have the buyers lined up, why, hell yeah, I think the same way you do. That's a way better use for that annuity money. But I would check if there's a borrowing component in the annuity so as not to incur the wrath of the tax man. Could he borrow the money from his annuity and then use that borrowed money to do this very same stuff? And remember, borrowed money is not taxable. So I would urge you to look at that beyond what we've spoken about already. So, yes, I agree. That is a great idea, and you should do it right away.
Right away. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I was born in California and lived here all my life over the past 60 years. I'm 71 now. I've witnessed the communization of California.
Communization.
I've never seen that word before. With my very own eyes. The reason I can't leave here is that I can't afford to. Pretty simple, but if I could handle sleeping in a tent under some bridge, I could just stay here anyway, where it's relatively warm most of the year. He said, I should also point out that I worked for the federal government as a seasonal employee for some 14 years and received zero benefits, no insurance, no retirement, nothing other than a paycheck. If the Trumpster wants to fix the federal employment problems, he'd fire everyone from the top down to the seasonals, which would eliminate about 80 to 90% of the commies. And the ones left would still get all the work done, as they're the only boots on the ground as it is. Wow.
That's what I've noticed. I'll tell you what, I've never seen such waste and inefficiency as I do when I see a government operation of some sort. You know, we're in road fixing season here in New Jersey. And, you know, you pull up to a typical coned off work site and you see three or four guys working hard, like the gentleman described, and another six or seven guys watching them work hard. So it is a fact of life that 80% of the people that work for the government do 20% of the work. And 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's just identifying which ones. I like your strategy. Fire them all from the top down and then see what sort of demand for their services erupts. I mentioned the case of here in New Jersey where we shut down the state government, a decade ago or more, and nobody noticed. I mean, literally, nobody noticed. They had to force the casinos to close because they couldn't have inspectors there. Even after the casinos said, no, we'll pay the inspectors, the government said, no, we want those casinos closed. And it's the only way people are going to notice that the government is shut down. And sure enough, that's what got people's attention. I think if they hadn't forced the casinos to close, most New Jerseyans would have left the government shutdown. It wouldn't have bothered.
Arizona Governor Doug Ducey signed a bill eliminating state capital gains on gold and silver specie.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What's that mean, specie?
Money.
Golden coins, like you said?
Money. No, you know, money.
Money.
Money. Specie, that's the word.
He says income on one kind of legal tender to another, dollars and coins. He said, we ought to not to tax money. Makes no sense to me. Paper is not money. It's a fraud, he says.
I like this guy.
It's the governor of Arizona. God love
him. Yeah, man.
He's the real, you know.
And when you start hearing that from people in that sort of a position, then you realize that, you know, these are not just the rantings of a coin dealer that you listen to on Wednesday morning. you know, there are some very serious people that understand the difference between specie and fraud. Frauds are Federal Reserve Accounting Unit dollars. They're not money. I can't say it. I can't emphasize
Federal
it
Federal Reserve Accounting Unit
dollars.
Dollars. Yeah. Frauds.
Frauds. And
they're,
by their own,
they're frauds.
By their own acronym.
Wow. So...
What went on in Texas at the State House yesterday?
They just had way too much tequila before they went on.
Is that what happened?
No, that's what happened. They had too many tacos and tequila. I don't even know what they were fighting about, do you?
Somebody told me that the State House was taken over by illegal aliens.
And one of the
legislators had introduced a bill that would force towns and cities across Texas to turn over the... suspected illegal immigrants to ICE. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, no,
I honestly didn't get the whole story.
I haven't got the story.
And then the illegal immigrants occupied the State House, and one of the Republicans, and I don't know if those people were all illegal immigrants or not. I saw photos, but one of the Republicans who introduced the bill said that he had called ICE to come to the State House, and that incensed apparently his Democratic opponent, who threatened to kill him, as I understood it. But I didn't get the whole story. I thought maybe you might.
You know more than I do. I just heard a headline on the radio, and I never even followed up on it. But they were duking it out. They were having a good time.
Sure. Well, this idea of sanctuary cities.
Oh, I know.
And I heard it even from our own city council last week, where there was a rule about the law, a local ordinance, that you couldn't play basketball, couldn't play in the street. And, you know, kids had set up these curbside basketball nets and were playing basketball at a cul-de-sac, and the neighbors were complaining. And the city council president said, well, we just choose not to enforce that ordinance. And I thought to myself, well, how the heck? I thought this was a nation of laws and not men. So if you don't like the law, take it off the books, but don't just tell me you're not going to enforce it. Otherwise, how am I supposed to have respect for any other laws if you choose which ones you enforce and don't enforce? So I see this argument about the sanctuary cities as boiling over into that very argument right there. You know, is a law a law? Can we ignore the ones that we don't like? And if that's the case, I could think of a bunch I'll ignore myself.
You know, that's going on now, you know, here with the Governor Abbott, where he's telling these cities, you can't be a sanctuary city, you know. It's the law, it's the law. This is the deal. And
well,
they're not happy about that either.
I guess not. You know? But again, are we a nation of laws or people? And, you know, if you feel so strongly about this, then change the law. It's the same thing I say to the gun control advocates. You know, my idea of gun control is using both hands. And so any infringement on the individual right to bear arms, I believe, is unconstitutional. But if these folks who believe that regulating and restricting gun ownership is part of their plan, then I urge them to repeal the Second Amendment. You know, get your signatures, get your bodies together, and repeal the Second Amendment. You can't just ignore it. You know, you cannot ignore the law, and you can't ignore the supreme law of the land. So... get with the program.
I don't know. This could be a reason why Iran and Russia are on the bad boy list in the corner with the dunce hat on.
Could be.
Iran has signed an agreement with Russia under which it is broken free from the petrodollar and will sell, or rather barter crude oil to Russia in exchange for their products. The announcement has made by Iran's oil minister, somebody, as reported by TASS News Agency.
Sure.
The deal's been concluded.
Not by Reuters.
No. So what they're going to do, they're just going to trade.
Bilateral trade.
They're going to do it.
Russia and Iran.
No dollar here.
No dollar involved. No UN involved. No world governments involved.
No, we're just going to do our thing in between each other, oil and food or whatever we're going to do.
Yeah.
Whatever. And a $20 billion deal, and they said we're going to do it. So
yeah.
Well, no. That's probably why they're on the bad guy list.
And, you know, this is where we should be as a planet. Bilateral trade agreements. This idea that, you know, a bunch of nations are going to gang up on weaker nations and force them to do things that they wouldn't otherwise want to do. That's not democracy. Well, maybe that is democracy. You know, two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for lunch. So it is unfortunate, but that's the way we've done things since the institution of the UN, which is I can't wait till Donald Trump gets around to those guys.
You know, many people have been saying for years that the boys want to kind of make the United States a third world country. You've heard
that's
that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I saw this article, Dollar General, you know, that little store.
Yeah, sure. I hate to say it. I do. Yeah. Wherever you see
Dollar
those,
General
that's a sign
accounts
of economic
for
decline.
80% of all the new store openings in the United States. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
It is because
is that possible?
They look at the demographics. Well, I was looking at the numbers yesterday, right? A middle class American now makes $52,000 a year.
52 G's.
An upper class American makes 105.
Okay.
So Dollar General doesn't put its stores where those median income levels are there. Right?
No.
No, they look at the demographic trends. And they see, okay, this is a community in which everyone is just above the poverty line. Well, that's where we're going to put a store. So, unfortunately, there are a lot more places for Dollar General to put a store than for Starbucks, which goes the opposite direction.
And so does Whole Foods. Whole Foods, of course, they go to the rich neighborhoods.
You're right. So if you see a Whole Foods or a Starbucks popping up in a neighborhood, then you know that the demographics in that neighborhood are high and the income levels of the occupants are high. But if you see a Dollar General store pop up, then you know that the income levels and the demographics are low.
We just got a Starbucks in Dripping Springs.
Well, there you go.
There you go. But we had our own little cool Mizuna coffee shop that's getting all the business.
Probably better than Stein.
Well, I don't know. I would much rather go to your local coffee shop. I saw a leaked video. Did you see that? There was a leaked video by the head dude at Starbucks. Talking about Donald Trump. It's just, can't even imagine this guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, store closings for 2017, top of the list. Do you know who it is?
Starbucks.
Radio Shack.
Radio Shack.
Radio Shack, yeah. Man. Well, you know, I guess the days when you buy speaker wire and stuff.
Well, the geeks.
Are gone.
The geeks. The days when you build your own everything are gone.
The Radio Shack. They had a thing years ago. Man, they were hot.
Sure they were hot, yeah, because, you know, they had all the new and exciting technology.
Payless shoes are a second. Of course, all the shoes come from Thailand now.
Right.
Limited, never heard of some of these other ones. Oh, JCPenney's right up there. Ooh.
What happened to
JCPenney's? Sears, yeah, they're down on the list, but they're going to close about 50 of them this year.
Yep.
Yeah, Macy's, CVS.
Sears certainly not getting my business anymore. You know, I was a loyal Sears customer for about 30 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've done everything they can to drive me away as a customer.
How come?
Well, poor customer service. I don't know how else to describe it.
Just not fun. Huh?
It used to be Sears was, you know, that was the place, right? You bought an appliance or you bought a tool or you bought something.
Yeah.
You called them. They serviced it.
My dad used to do that.
Yeah. Not anymore. Everything is subcontracted and no one cares. So everything from their credit department to their service department is sort of outsourced to people who really couldn't care whether Sears succeeds or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Here's an email. Is there any truth to the Canadian housing bubble rumor? Is that a rumor?
No. Although, its situation is not good. Let's just put it that way. the Canadian housing market is in trouble, and it's well-known trouble, so I don't know that I would classify it as a rumor anymore.
Not a rumor. What is the euro-denominated debt, writes Don? The euro-denominated debt.
Yeah, forgive me. I don't have that figure at my fingertips, but because, again, the disparate, I'll compare again to the United States, right? We have a treasury bond that's a single unified bond for the federal government. They don't have that in Europe. Germany has debt, France has debt, Italy has debt, Greece has debt, but there's no unified debt. So there's really not a figure that I can give you without adding everyone's indebtedness up. And that only relies on the transparency that they provide. So unfortunately, I can't answer that question.
I watched about 20 minutes of this. It was some big summit with the European nations, and Mario Draghi, he gets together with them once a year, I guess, and tells them what he's doing, right?
That's right.
And every one of these people, they all spoke their own little language. And they had a, he had his little headsets on and being translated. Every one of them were questioning why he kept printing more euros, you know? This is what it was all about. This is the only thing it was about, you know?
That's right.
And he kept answering the same thing over and over again. You know, we can look at our charts and graphs, and this is it, and it's been good, and we're going to do more, and don't worry. We're in charge here.
Yes.
Boy, you know, no wonder these people want to leave. You know, you get this kind of, just really strange. Draghi's kind of, he's a, wait a minute, where did Mario Draghi used to work?
Golden
my slacks. Yeah. Yeah, they get actually pretty pretty uppity.
They do.
You know.
And of course that
it was really interesting to watch. I go, wow, Mario, lighten up there, kid. Just make him feel good at, you know, something. But no, he wasn't doing that.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs also in trouble in Venezuela here recently.
Yeah,
taking
that.
Advantage of those folks.
Yeah. And also, who was it that I see that got kind of, funding Maduro's dictatorship, right?
That's right.
How did they do that? Why did Goldman get involved with Maduro?
Well, that's...
It was the whole gold thing, right?
Sure it was. Yeah, they did that. We reported on that deal.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Right, they took the gold and gave them... yeah.
Goldman says, give us your gold and we'll take care of you. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, all of the other females that... out there saying that it's just a rich right man's game. They're not going to like this report. This is pretty interesting. Although there's there's a lot fewer, of course, female CEOs. But 21 female CEOs received a median income compensation package of 13.8, compared with 11 million of many more male chiefs. So the fewer female CEOs that are out there,
The more they make.
They're making more than the guys.
Oh,
so, you know,
good.
I mean, so that should make you feel a little bit better, right?
Yeah, one category.
A little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more here, then we'll go. Let's see. Great
well,
show.
Well, you want to stick on Venezuela for just a minute?
Yeah.
So, like, the state-owned oil company had issued bonds out the wazoo, and they were trading at, like, 30 cents on the dollar. And so Goldman stepped in and snapped them up, like $3 billion worth.
Uh-huh.
And it gave Maduro a little more cash. They're kind of waiting for oil to increase in value or increase in price before they can make any real headway into improving the living conditions in Venezuela.
Oh. So I suspect then... what's going to happen here is just going to be quantitative easing. Did I guess right?
Well, the general cry in Venezuela is the hell with those guys. We're not paying them. We don't want to pay them. And there's no way that you, the government, should be taking so much of our national resources and handing them over to these international banks while our people are starving. So I guess that... I think they're calling them hunger bonds now.
Hunger bonds. Oh,
yeah,
that's good.
So it's like we have money to pay you know, these to issue these bonds and pay their interest payments, but we don't have money to feed the people. So it's quite an interesting circumstance breaking out in Venezuela. And as usual, Goldman Sachs is at the center.
Right
of
there,
it all.
Baby. They're right there to help out. Help out when you need them. When government agencies writes an email to claim they own the water in your pond,
right?
Tell them that you didn't ask them to put their water in your hole, so right. Charge them storage.
Charge them rent.
I like it. This is good. This kid's he's on to something.
Yes. That's right.
Good. Listen, I didn't tell you to put
your
water.
Yeah, come and get your water in my,
out
of my pond.
I'm going to charge you storage. Send them a bill.
If it's theirs.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, if it's your water, come and get it. Yeah. Take it. I don't want it. So just so you know, before we go here, in case you're keeping track, Afghanistan opium poppy production is up 43% last year. So that's good. So we need
good
more.
Good thing we went in there.
Need more. Oh, we need more poppies. We need more poppies. And Zuckerberg, you know, Zuck, he was at Harvard graduation address. He did the, you know, did the big address. What do they call that when you do the thing at graduation?
Isn't there a name commencement.
That commencement speech. It was a Zuck. And he said definitely that the U.S. should really consider a free basic income for every person in the United States.
He should move to Norway.
And I think he should be president because that would really be a good thing. And by the way, he is considering, just so you know, running for president in 2020, the Zuck.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Join in there.
Donald Trump against the Zuck.
No, it would be Donald Trump against. You've got a whole competitive Democratic field. I heard yesterday that Jerry Springer.
Oh, good.
He's going to seek the Democratic nomination.
Well, I think he would be good.
I think he's emblematic of the morality of the Democratic Party.
That'd be good. It'd be Jerry Springer, the Zuck, Wiener, and Hillary Clinton. That'll be a great. And oh no, Biden. That'll be a good. That'll be a nice debate. With Trump tweeting every night, right? What are these people? What are these people smoking at? Finally, he said, "Oh, this fellow re-emailed in. Sorry, can I rephrase my question? Is the Canadian housing bubble big enough for Americans like myself to care about?" Okay, I'm asking you because I'm too lazy to look into it, and I was hoping you knew. Well, that's an honest guy.
Yeah, no, and it is. It is that bad. In fact, one of their major lenders sort of blew up earlier this month. And I expect you'll probably see a few more blow up. So, yeah, I think it is big enough for Americans to worry about.
Uh-huh. There was a week there where Bitcoin had about trillion? I don't know. It was a whole lot of money come and gone. Now I think they're back up to about 2,300. Mm-hmm. Did you know the biggest, do you know who the biggest user who takes Bitcoins is? Any idea?
No, I have no idea.
WordPress.
WordPress.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Sure.
WordPress. Yeah. And then it goes down from there. And Well, I'm trying to cut down on the amount of Bitcoins I buy this week. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to consume it.
I'm on a Bitcoin fast. I don't know about you. Well, kiddo, that was fun today. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. What's going on for you? You got anything really fun to do other than work?
No, coins all day for me. Coins.
You're into coins.
I love coins. I'm going to be sorting silver dollars this morning.
Sorting silver dollars, are we?
Bought a multiple bag deal of them.
How much do one of those cost?
Well, at the bottom end of the scale, they're not too bad. $22-23 will probably end up being sold for. And then we have a handful that are at the top end of the market, mint state 64 or better.
Yeah.
And those range from 60 to 150.
Really?
Yep. And these nice little deal of silver dollars.
These are like also just real silver stuff.
That's right.
So
I bought them from a guy who put them away 1,000 coins in a bag.
Wow.
And, you know, he said he had been buying them since they were $1.50. So he did okay. He did all right.
So do you come in here and dump them on your desk and show them
to you? That's right. Yeah, I dump them on my desk and sort them into categories. It's actually a lot bigger than a desk. It's more like a table. And remember, this is a multiple bag deal, so we're talking multiple thousands of coins.
Wow.
And they have to be sorted by grade, from the lowest, which are the $22 or so coins, right up to the nicest. In fact, yesterday as I was sorting, I found a Carson City coin from 1891.
Is that good?
Oh, yeah, that's great. It's like a $150 coin. So there are a bunch of those in here, I'm certain, and S mints and coins from the old New Orleans mint. They were just randomly put together in bags without regard for quality when these things were really, really inexpensive. So I was happy to get the deal, and I know the guy that sold them to me was thrilled to get the check.
He did good, huh?
Yeah, he was happy as a
clam.
Man, I can't even describe
him. Yeah,
he was showing his wife, see, I told you, honey, I told you.
I told you I did this all these
told
years.
Told you this was smart.
How did he find you?
Well, he, like any intelligent investor, he shopped around. And, you know, he said my name kept coming up, and he didn't live very far away. So he contacted me. We talked about it. And when he realized that, you know, unlike other things, he didn't have to hold a mortgage or wait for me to get approved. It was like, I'm coming over. I'll bring my checkbook. And that's all it took.
I'll be done.
So,
that's
you know. Counted them all, bought them, and wrote him the check, which he's cashed already. And I hope he and his wife enjoy the hell out of this money because it certainly is enough to live the rest of his life comfortably. And he's in early retirement. You know, he's not deep into retirement. So he's only been there a couple
of
years.
Well, good for you. So,
but as he put it, you know, his pension just isn't cutting it.
So this is perfect for both of you guys.
Perfect for me, I know that, and I know it'll give my clients an advantage, because I, although I competed a little bit for these, there weren't very many dealers in the vicinity that could write the check, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my competition wasn't that intense, so I didn't have to really pay up for these coins. So they'll represent a good value, not only for myself, but for my clients as well.
Oh, what fun. Good job.
Indeed.
Okay, somebody would like to talk to you and buy one of those silver dollars. What would they do?
They just call us, 800-468-2646. If you're already a client of the firm, no doubt your broker will probably call and tell you about this deal. But if you're not, you should at least get on the list. Maybe not, if you don't catch this deal, you'll catch the next one. We always go to our clients first. The number's 800-468-2646. These will not be advertised anywhere. You'll only hear about them on a one-to-one offering. So
that's what your team would do. They would go to their clients.
That's it.
And say, hey, man, we got these guys in
here. We got these silver dollars.
You want some of these guys?
That's right.
I see. That's how you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool. So, that's a good idea.
It's a
why
great idea.
Why didn't I think of that? Maybe that's because of why I'm not a coin dealer.
No, and so we don't broadly advertise. Uh-huh. In fact, we don't... You won't ever find our name in any industry publication as an advertisement because the hardest part is finding the coins, especially the coins that people should buy.
Yeah.
So we never have a problem with finding the buyers. It's always finding the coins.
Yeah. You don't advertise here with us and help us out because you need more business. You just do it because you're a good friend. I know that. Don't tell anybody because you don't need it. So thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it, brother. Okay. Thanks a lot. See you soon.
Thanks.
Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone. It is the real world of money. Yeah, you hear these commercials we do for Andy? Well, you know, you understood what I just said. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about cell salts. This is going to be fun with this fellow in Germany. Yeah, cell salts. He's a cell salt guy. And also prescription drugs from a doc who's going to tell you some strange stories. So I love you all very much. Thanks to Lynn. Thanks to Sharon. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.